lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Football on off the ball.
You know, when you get to work in a place for like 4 or 5 days a week, 6 days a week, all your life, I know every sort of, you know, like things like the tiles, where there's a little crack in the tile somewhere going up the stairs and the changing room walls and everything. I know it all to the inch of my life.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Seamus Coleman is set to finish up at Everton after more than 17 years on Merseyside. We look ahead to tonight's action in the League of Ireland, including our live commentary game between Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers, and Arsenal confirm Katie McCabe's departure from the club. First up, Seamus Coleman, one of Everton's greatest ever servants and captains, has announced his playing career will come to an end this summer after more than 17 years. The fans' favourite was brought to the club by David Moyes from Sligo Rovers in January 2009 for the famed fee of £60,000. Coleman now has to decide his next move. He's been offered a coaching role with Everton, but he could decide to continue his playing career, which would mean a move away. The 37-year-old has played 433 games. If he features against Sunderland or Tottenham in their last two games of the season, he'd move ahead of Dixie Dean and Leon Osman in 10th spot in Everton's all-time appearance list. Dundalk welcome Shamrock Rovers to Oriel Park tonight in our live feature commentary game in the League of Ireland. The teams met back in February and Talla in a rearranged game and it finished a goal apiece. Dundalk are fourth but have picked up just 1 point from their last four games. Rovers have won three in a row since they lost to Derry City last month. Rovers boss Stephen Bradley says the First Division champions haven't surprised him on the return to the top flight.
No, not at all. I watched them in pre-season, watched a few of the games and it was quite great to see what they would be and how they go about their business. So they've been doing really well, we know that. And we know it'll be a tough game. We're looking forward to going and seeing the new pitch and playing on that and they're always good games. So looking forward to it. What should be a good game.
You'll be able to hear live and exclusive commentary of that game and Off the Ball on News Talk and the Go Loud app from 7 o'clock. Ben Symes will be joined by Vinnie Perth in the gantry for the 8 o'clock kickoff. It'll be Vinnie's first time back at Oriel Park since he left the club in 2021. And on this week's LOI pod, Vinnie explained to Gareth McGlynn and Stephen Doyle about how he might feel going back to the club he knows so well.
Since I cleared my desk at the end of 2021, I've not been back to Oriel Park.
What?
For 8.5 years, I... when you get to work in a place for like 4 or 5 days a week, 6 days a week, all your life, I know every sort of, you know, like things like the tiles, where there's a little crack in the tile somewhere going up the stairs and the changing room walls and everything. I know it all to the inch of my life, but I haven't gone back to it. And obviously when you're getting asked to do certain games or you're being booked to do co-coms, I wasn't sure which game you're going to do, and when I found out it was Dundalk and Oriel Park, it'd be interesting. I imagine I'll have, I don't know what the right word is, but it'd be interesting going up there. I don't know how people will perceive me going back. I don't know that. I can only presume certain bits and pieces, but it will be a little bit. Emotional might be too strong of a word, but it will be interesting to walk back into that ground because, as I said, if you're lucky enough to live to 100, I spent 10 years of my life, 10% of my life, going in now that ground, so it will be interesting.
And remember, you can listen to the LOI pod for free each and every week. To get that, click follow in your OTB football podcast feed. Elsewhere tonight, Shelburne make the short trip across to take on St Pat's in Inchicore. Stephen Kenny's side are top scorers in the league with 31 goals and are still just 3 points behind leader Shamrock Rovers. Shells have the poorest home record in the league this season. They have found being on the road more to their liking. And on the LOI pod, Gareth McGlynn explained why Shells are still in the process of changing their style.
There's no
doubt in my mind that Damien Duff played a different way than Joey O'Brien. And if you want to change the way you play to a more controlled possession-based game, then maybe you need to let the likes of Mark Cole, and that's no disrespect to Mark, but they had to make a choice. They had JJ Lunny in there. They had McEnroy and Francis. It's impossible to keep them all. So you just got to change. I agree with you. That aggressive style, of that combative style, they don't have enough of that. Now, when you change that style, it does take time. You can't just go on one day and go automatically, boom. I talk about Derry City's style all the time. There's a massive, massive change from the way Rory Higgins played to the way Tiernan Lynch played. And it takes time to get it right, and it needs to get right, and you need to change the players. That's why Derry have changed most of the squad. But with Shells, they've tried to change, and it just hasn't worked as well as I had have thought as well, because the signings have been good enough and they look like more of a technical team now, but it just hasn't worked for them on the pitch. And they haven't scored enough goals, and in that they've conceded way more goals. So do I think Joey's under pressure? Absolutely. It's a results game, but I don't think they need to hit the panic button. I just don't agree with changing the manager after a short period of bad results.
That game at Richmond Park kicks off at 7:45. At the same time, Bohemians and Drogheda United meet at Dalymount Park. Both sides won last week. Alan Reynolds' side won 3-1 away to Dundalk. Drogheda beat Derry 1-0 at home. Waterford, meanwhile, go in search of their first win of the season. They face Derry at the RSC. Those games all kick off at 7:45. In the First Division, leaders Cork City aren't in action tonight, so it's a chance for UCD to join them at the top when they face Bray Wanderers at Belfield. Cove Ramblers are at home to Athlone Town, Kerry host Wexford, and Treaty United take on Finn Harps. Those matches start at 7:45.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Liverpool boss Arne Slot says he understands the criticism he gets from angry fans, but he blames the age of social media. Last season's Premier League champions are away to Aston Villa tonight, with both clubs on 59 points and looking to secure Champions League football. It follows on from last weekend's 1-1 draw with Chelsea, which prompted renewed calls for Slot to be sacked.
They have every right to have their opinion. And in this modern time, everyone can share his opinion as well. By the way, this happened 10, 15 years ago as well, but then you did it in the pub and not everyone heard it. Now it's probably also done in the pub. If I read what they are saying, they must have drunk a little bit.
And on this week's Inside the Odds, Ger Gilroy, Matthew Brennan and David Wilson discussed if Liverpool would be better off going after former midfielder Xabi Alonso as their new manager.
This is not a good Liverpool team, and I've been saying it for weeks now, and I do feel bad for some of the players and for the manager as well, like, because I just don't think it's going to work out long term for Liverpool. I think they're a bit stuck in the mud with what decision making they're kind of doing for next season. There's a manager there that's available that they would probably more than likely get in Xabi Alonso, and there looks like they're going to miss out on him and they're going to give Slot one more year. I understand Slot won the league, but like, there's been no evidence really, like, this past season that he should be given more time. Like, they've been poor, like really poor by Liverpool standards. Slot, you know when managers are kind of, you know, they're coming to the end and then they completely go against the things that they believe in, and that was never more kind of evidential than in that game against Paris Saint-Germain, where he played five of the back wing backs, long throws, and okay, I understood he was trying to keep Liverpool in the game, but that said it all to me that he was finished as a Liverpool manager, because that was completely the opposite of what he was trying to do and what he was talking about last season and for a lot of this season as well. I just don't really see how it kind of goes on from here. And a massive overturn of players as well. Maybe that's why you keep the manager, because the players, like, looks like Alisson, looks like obviously Salah is going to go. Maybe you need the manager there to kind of keep some sort of kind of consistency between squads and that. But I think this is like a rebuilding process for Liverpool, and it's going to take a year or two. But, you know, they probably should maybe rebuild with a different manager.
Kickoff at Villa Park tonight is 8 o'clock. Brentford boss Keith Andrews says it's huge for the club to have received 3 nominations in the Premier League's awards. He's been shortlisted for Manager of the Season. Striker Igor Thiago and right-back Michael Coyote are in for the player and young player categories respectively. Andrews says it's been a great team effort.
That doesn't happen without everybody rowing in the same direction, everybody pushing really, really hard, and them two in particular obviously have been remarkably consistent with their performances for players really in their first full season in the Premier League.
Bournemouth defender Marcus Senesi will leave this summer when his contract expires. The Argentine's been linked with several clubs in recent months, including Tottenham, Roma and Juventus. Senesi's been offered multiple deals to extend his stay at Bournemouth, but he's chosen to leave after 4 years with the club. This Sunday, Casemiro will play his last home game for Manchester United. He's set to leave the club for pastures new next season. United are at home to Nottingham Forest in the lunchtime kickoff, with both side seasons basically over. Another discussion on this week's Inside the Odds saw Matthew, Gerr and David discuss the Brazilian's legacy at Manchester United.
The Casemiro goodbye. Casemiro didn't play last week. I think he had a minor knock. Just only because he wants to have his massive Old Trafford goodbye, and on behalf of all the Man United supporters.
You know the way they've all forgiven him for being shit for 18 months?
I think that's a revisionist statement. I think Casemiro, in that time,
when he was getting destroyed through the central midfield.
Yeah, because he was like playing, like Erik ten Hag was doing this high press, but with a deep lying back four, because he had Harry Maguire there and Rafa Varane, who had no legs. Like, yeah, it was a structural deficiency in the team created by the manager.
It did feel a little bit like he was not as at it as he has been in his contract year this year.
But I don't know, like from this season and even in the bad times as well, like
my question is, do you not hold him in any way accountable for phoning it in for about 18 months in the middle of this contract?
No, I don't think
he did. When he was the highest paid player at the club. Was he the highest paid? 375, is that what it was?
Money's irrelevant, they're all on massive wages.
I think all that money mattered. I think that the Pogba contract poisoned the well for everybody. There was a few of those contracts where lads who weren't trying were getting paid more than some of the players coming through. That's a poisonous atmosphere. Difficult for any manager to rescue.
That's available to listen back to now in your OTB Football podcast feed now for free, as well as a preview of all this weekend's action in the Premier League. Manchester City secured their 5th FA Youth Cup with a 2-1 win against Manchester United in the final. 18-year-old Regan Heskey, son of former England striker Emil, got the winner at the City Academy Stadium. Heskey admits he was surprised to find out that Pep Guardiola and Michael Carrick were both watching from the stands.
I didn't know they were here tonight, so getting that information, I didn't know. So we've got a special team for this and this big game. We all believed that we would win, so yeah, just to make it happen, we're all happy.
Kevin Kilbane joined Owen Sheehan last night on the football show to discuss the Scottish Premiership title race and the decision that went Celtic's way on Wednesday night. He says it was perhaps a harsh penalty decision.
What did he make of the big call last night, Kev?
Well, yeah. I didn't think it was a penalty. I didn't. I thought the lad, I can't remember the boy's name who headed the ball. It was Trusty that was underneath it, the Celtic player. I thought he nudged his arm towards the ball. When you see it, again, hyper close to it, his hand is absolutely right on the ball, but it didn't look like a penalty. I mean, that's the way that I would view it. And again, it comes back to these VAR calls. When they're asking referees to overrule things at times, we see it constantly and sometimes we're baffled by it. But the more you looked at that, I know the referee made his decision so quickly when you were watching it. Oh, and the referee made his decision in less than a minute. It wasn't one of those where he's got, I know there was a lot of to and fro in prior to him going to the monitor, but once he went to the monitor, he seemed to make a decision very quickly. 20, 30 seconds, it was done. It's a penalty. But to me, when you've slowed it down, it didn't look like it. It's great for the weekend. It's great for Scottish football, the way that it's gone. And you talk about VAR in Scotland and Celtic are getting the breaks. Look, I've watched enough of Celtic over the years where I've constantly felt that they weren't getting any of the breaks. And Celtic fans will probably argue that case as well, that Scottish football was always against Celtic and they were with Rangers and things like this. But that one seemed to go to... when you look at it, in however you're going to view it and monitor it, it looked like Celtic got a break there. Yeah, Hearts have been great. They've been a great watch this season, and I think it has been so good for Scottish football watching it. I've watched a lot of it since Christmas, as much as I've watched Championship. And I've, when you and I are talking, even prior to going on, Owen, and we're chatting around Premier League and we talk about it not being a vintage year, I've really enjoyed the Championship. I've really enjoyed watching it, and I've enjoyed watching Scottish football again.
And Katie McCabe will play for a different club next season after Arsenal confirmed the Ireland captain will leave at the end of the current campaign. The Dubliner has made more than 300 appearances since she joined the North London club from Shelburne in 2015. She won the Champions League last year and the WSL in 2019. The 30-year-old's contract is up at the end of the season, which finishes up tomorrow when Arsenal play Liverpool at Anfield. It's believed both parties were trying to find an agreement on a new deal as late as this week. But in a statement on Thursday, Arsenal announced her impending departure and thanked McCabe for her service. On the football show on Thursday night, Emma Carroll and Ben Symes joined on to discuss the impact she's had at the club and where she might go next.
Breaking news coming out of Arsenal. Katie McCabe will leave the club when her contract expires at the end of this season. So it's obviously been one of the great Irish football careers in England. Champions League winner last year, over 300 appearances for the club. So big news. It had seemed in the last couple of days that there might be a future for her at Arsenal. So this is interesting on a multitude of levels. Ben is back with us in studio and our producer Emma Carroll has popped in as well. Emma, heartbreaking news.
The WSL superfan. I'm not heartbreaking news for me, but for a lot of Arsenal fans, from the look of Twitter, they're quite angry with the club for the announcement coming today and not pre their last game last night. So she didn't get Emirates goodbye, along with Bette Mead, Victoria Pavlova and Kadena as well. All got a big send-off after the game last night. So everybody, I think, thought if Katie was going, it would have been announced before that.
Did something change today?
Like, you kind of thought after the game there was a lot of tears from Katie. I don't know if you've seen the videos on social media. She was very emotional. So it looked like maybe she wouldn't be staying, but like, it's just so bizarre timing.
Yeah, okay. That's mad, really, because you'd maybe give them a bit of a break if there was a big send-off a week ago. But for this to come literally the day after that actually happens at the club is quite mad.
I think it's mental. I think not giving her a send-off is absolutely insane. And I get, obviously, this contract situation that comes into it, but to know, to announce it like 24 hours after the game, like, it's not like you would have been somewhat aware of the decision last night. I also think for someone who, like, I think it's 305 appearances for Arsenal, she has won quite literally every trophy possible that you can win at Arsenal. She won the Champions League, she won the WSL title, she won the FA Cup, she won the FIFA Champions Cup last year as well. So to not give that type of player the send-off she deserves, and, you know, I'm lucky enough to cover the women's national team here in Ireland, and every time you get a chance to speak to Katie, you realise she is a bona fide superstar. And Arsenal fans, I think, realise what they've had with Katie over the last 10 years. And they are well within their rights to be fuming that they're not going to give her the send-off that she deserves at the Emirates. I think whatever is next for Katie, she deserves what that move to hopefully another top-level Champions League club in Europe, and whatever, you know, contract that may come with that. I think she's well within her rights to deserve it.
And that's all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, back with more next week.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.